If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
I enjoy talking to solo performers, the singer-songwriter type, because there isn't anything more genuine than a performer and their guitar. When you peel away the layers of any song, ultimately it's that individual's ability to connect with their audience through their words and the way they play their instrument that makes a lasting impact. I'm often in awe of the process as much as the performance. So it was a real treat to connect with Grayson Capps, a man who you'll soon hear doesn't take his craft too seriously, but is serious about what he does. Before we get to that chat, though, have a listen to Scarlet Roses, the title track from his latest record.
Watched you sail out on the ocean for land to find your dreams. You held out scarlet colored roses and you threw them in the ocean. They flowed right on back to me. On the van, I watched you throw away the roses. Now you're drinking scarlet colored, scarlet colored wine. Scarlet roses from days long gone, still their perfume it lingers on, like the melody.
I'll go inside.
we've heard in the past, musicians have to be on the road earning a living and working at their craft both in front of an audience, but also in vans, hotel rooms, and everywhere they can. Grayson is fresh back from a stint in Europe, and the conversation started when I asked about how he was received over the pond.
Really good. My fans here seem to like it a lot. And over in Europe, it's been great. It's been good to go over there with new stuff. And I sold a whole bunch of them over there. I sold like 400 in like 10 days in Holland. And that felt good. I mean, my shows aren't that huge. I usually get like 200 people at a show. So
now you took a big break. I mean, this was, a big break for your sixth record. I guess you completed your fifth, and then you took this long 6-year hiatus to deal with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was playing the whole time, and then I did Willie Sugar Caps too. That was we did two records with this side project. It just pulled me away from my own thing. Yet I've been, touring, maintaining, about 170 shows a year, every year.
Working every other day is pretty good.
Yeah, usually it's just all crammed in one section. Like right now, I have a week and a half off, and I'm excited about it. But yeah, I stay busy.
When you're writing for yourself or for the side project, do the songs come easy? I mean, when I'm thinking of things like Thankful and Bag of Weed, those might take time to come together.
Actually, on this record, the first time I've ever written this way is just turn the voice memo on my phone and just go. And so Bag of Weed, I pretty much made shit up for like 8 minutes. And then I went back and I edited it.
Right.
I found the stuff that I liked and then kind of put it together. So that was, and then early on, I'd kind of just spouted out that line of Bag of Weed, Case of Beer, a little George Dickels from American Spirits. And then when I heard that back, I was like, well, that's cool, I think. That's how I feel. So I'm going to do that again. I made that, I guess, the chorus. And Thankful, I still, it's the verse stuff doesn't even make any sense to me, but I liked the way it felt to sing it, so I kept it. And that was one, the whole record was just first time I've never really did the pen until, editing. So I just kind of free-formed, made shit up until, ran out of shit,
And yeah.
Then there's a lot of like, mm-hmm.
Do you sit with the guitar when you make up shit?
Yeah. So I just, start singing something. I don't even know what, like a lot of that stuff, I just start doing something and then something would come out. And it all seemed to make sense. All those songs kind of revolved around a certain theme, I guess, in my head anyway, my own theme.
Yeah, and is that the growing up and being a father, or what is it about the theme that you think?
Well, it's I have a daughter with another woman and I miss her in my life. I have a son who's very much in my life, and
right.
My wife is in my life. And my father's getting old, and I'm an only child, and I've been having to deal with getting him into assisted living and going through many operations, near-death shit for the past 4 years.
Right.
And so kind of like being a father and being a son and whatever the hell that means, kind of battling it. So for me, it's been this revolving, I feel like I've been in one of those doors, this revolving door, and one side is my father and one side is my children and then me, my wife.
Right.
I don't know. my van.
Was it your van? Was it cathartic to get this stuff down, to sort of assemble some of these thoughts and ideas so that moving forward
you have a better perspective? I have to get through stuff through songs to get through stuff. That's the only way I've ever gotten through stuff, to move on, you know. And now, you know, I feel like I've kind of got that out, whatever those feelings were, and am able to move on. I'm looking forward to a new record.
Wow. Already. Well, I guess if you're banging them out at 8 minutes apiece, we should have lots of new music from you on a on a regular basis.
Oh, right? Yeah. Well, it's like I don't have writer's block. It's just having the block of when to, you know, when I can write.
Right.
Because, God damn, like my friend Earl used to say, it's a hard job living all day.
Right.
It's like getting shit done. And then, you know, by the end of the day or whenever, you know, it's like it's easier for me to write when I'm on the road.
Right.
Because I just have guitars, a van, simplicity. But at home, you know, it's anything could happen. Leaves and the fucking roof clogging something up, you know, maybe a clog,
right,
you know, shower, and then, you know, it's just never end, you know,
never ends
house.
Life so, is
no it doesn't
life gets in the way of having fun and doing stuff, right?
Well, it gets in the way of writing songs,
right?
Which is having fun and doing things,
right. So that's great. So the plan is, are you touring this record now? Like, is the plan to go out on the road with this record and bring these songs?
Yeah,
to the
I'm
people?
Kind of trying to wait a little bit, I know I'm going to tour real heavy in the summer, probably in the Midwest area. It's kind of based myself out of Colorado for a month.
Right.
And, but, you know, I've got Al Moss, this guy who's doing radio promotion, starts this month.
Uh-huh.
So the record really is not seeing the light of day until this month. And I'm kind of want to get some momentum going and then start working on booking a tour.
Right.
Because right now, you know, I haven't done a full out. Well, I mean, I've got the place. I've gotten lazy the past 6 years. I just go where people ask me, and it's kept me quite busy.
Well, that's good.
But as far as like pushing out to do like a thought out tour,
yeah,
I'm thinking it'd be good to have like some songs in the chart, and then call people.
Fair enough.
I might get more money that way. Yeah.
Do you think that your the kind of music that you make, you know, this really genuine, and I don't want to say country because I don't want to bottle stuff up into genres or have people pick where things land. That's not for me to decide. And it's probably not necessarily for you to decide. But do you think that this real genuine kind of singer-songwriter, real Americana kind of music is making a comeback, whether it's, you know, the stuff that you're making or the stuff that Chris Stapleton's making or, you know, just the singer-songwriter in general? I think of Anders Osborne, who, you know, is from New Orleans, but is that same kind of guy who's, you know, making real genuine music from the heart and not, you know, not necessarily to be charting on the radio or whatever.
I don't know if it's making a comeback or whatever. It's just what it is. I mean, I'm personally sick of it. I host like the Frog Pond. I see songwriters a lot, and I'm being slightly facetious and slightly serious too.
Uh-huh.
But the singer-songwriter genre, you know, I am one of them. But man, you get in these fucking festivals like 30A or where people, you know, all these songwriters are so full of shit, man. It's like, you know, I just want to barf. I've been recently cleansing my palate with this Zamrock. I discovered some fuzz rock from Zambia from the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes me feel a lot better because it's badly produced. It's the lyrics are terrible, but it sounds awesome. And it makes me feel better about my life. So, you know, like that song Taos on the record is more like how I'm feeling. You know, I'm kind of, you know, want to break away from the sensitive stuff. Cause there's so many people, you know, there's like Jason, you know, Jason Isbell, you know, he's on fire, but I mean, this stuff drives me crazy. It's like, it's so introverted and,
right,
I could give a shit about his life, you know. yeah, that's all he wants to sing about.
And, right.
And you know, I don't know. Chris Stapleton can sing the Dictionary, and it sounds great. But I don't listen to. I don't know. And you know, I know Anders. I've gone on the road with him.
Right.
Before.
He doesn't sing about himself too much.
No. Well, yeah. Right, coming down. But you gotta sing by yourself.
It's more than that, right? I mean, it is cathartic. I mean, you did talk about, you know, writing these songs and helping them cope with some of the things that you're dealing with. But at the same time,
oh yeah, for me and other people, it becomes really, really valuable. I mean, I know people who have use my music to you know, not have suicide.
Right.
To, you know, wake back up and they become like crazy fans. And it's not, I didn't do anything. I'm trying to save myself. And, and through doing that, you can help other people. I know I had a theater teacher one time saying that, as long as you speak your truth, people may not get your truth, but they will get a truth, and it will be a truth for them. But if you are not being truthful to begin with, nobody's going to get anything from it. So whether people get my truth doesn't matter as long as they get a truth.
Right.
And, you know, singer-songwriter stuff, I guess the question you asked was, is it making a comeback or something? I don't know, and I can't write to hope to be popular. I have to write for how I feel. And, you know, I do have, like, my fan base in mind, I guess, from shows, because a lot of people have become really close to me, and it becomes important. You know, there's one lady who, she's been coming to see. She comes to just about 90 shows a year. She's gone to Amsterdam to see me. She's gone to New Mexico, but her husband died maybe like 5-6 years ago, and she was just on the, just not doing anything. Her friends finally drug her out of the house and went to one of my shows, and then it made her wake up again and be kind of reborn or something. And when I know that, you know, she's there and people like her, I don't want to blow smoke up anybody's ass, but I'm not trying to.
You impact somebody's life, and that makes you feel better too.
Yeah. Well, the main thing, you know, my father, right when I started doing this, said something to me that he said, if you're going to be an artist, your job is to provide hope. And if you can't provide hope, don't do it. And so that's the main thing. If, you know, if I have something, I guess, I don't know. I don't know. I ran into a wall with that.
No, I get
wherever
it.
I was going.
I get it. And I think the audience gets it too. I mean, you put out music and it helps soothe your soul, and hopefully it impacts other people, whether they are specifically interested in the message that you're providing, or it's some kind of release for them from whatever ails them. I mean, that's why this woman is following you to Amsterdam, because she enjoys probably how your music makes her feel, which is great. And it, you know, it provides hope or provides some kind of assistance anyway.
I mean, she's opened up, you know, into music, you know, all around. And
right. I get it.
Cool, because I don't.
Thanks so much for taking the time. No, I think there's a valuable element. Thanks for the record. It really is. You know, you said that you don't know how people are going to react. I've had it for a while, like even before it was officially out. And I think it's a beautiful collection of songs and Bag of Weed. Certainly, I have to go back and listen to it again now, because now that I know how you wrote it, I'm more curious. So thanks for taking the time and continued success, man. And we will... we'll be tuning in and trying to catch a glimpse of you wherever we can. So continued success and good luck with everything.
Okay, all right, thanks.
I suspect we'll be hearing a lot more of Grayson Capps, but he might be the type of artist you have to seek out. I believe that's time well spent, because his music is just so great. For more on Grayson, visit graysoncapps.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to Taos, a song he says is more in tune where he wants to take his music. This excites us.
blood in a burned up sorghum field. How where's my baby? No screaming, there ain't no more. Rolling wild with no safety net can leave you all.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love and you, their fans. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.